Corinthians chapter 3.
It can be found in page 1180 in your church Bibles, or you can follow on the screen. So Philippians 3, verses 1 to 11. Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, on the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness, based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider the loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time now to hear your word. Lord, we just pray for Peter and pray that you would speak through him and prepare our hearts and minds to receive your word, Lord, and teach us what it is you want us to hear tonight, Lord. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Ruth. Thank you. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. As gospel-centered Christian believers, we talk a lot about the cross. And it's right that we do. Because Christ's death on the cross, without that cross, without that death upon the cross, there would be no salvation. No way for our sins to be forgiven. No way of being made right with God. And so it's not surprising that we love to sing about the power of the cross. By the apparent weakness of Christ's death on the cross, Christ brings about a powerful victory over sin and death and hell. By the cross, he defeats Satan, our great enemy. By the cross, we who believe in him come into God's family. There was great power in the cross to deal with our past and continue to deal with us in the present and in the future. But as Christians, sometimes we can forget that the Bible speaks of the power of the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is the most powerful event that ever has taken place in the history of the world. That resurrection power continues to be available to us to change our lives today. Now in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, Paul is telling us, his readers, about the thing that he desires more than anything else. And he says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. This is the thing that Paul wants more than anything. In another of his letters, written to the Ephesians, he prays that his readers will begin to understand how incredibly great is his power to help those who believe in him. It's the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in heaven. Paul uses the Greek word for power, dunamis, which is where we get our word dynamite. Paul is saying God wants to give you the dynamite power to bring about real change in your life. He wants us to know the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. He wants us to know that same power in our lives. That same power is available to change us and transform us, even to take our weaknesses and to transform them into strength. So what do we know about this power to change us? Where is the power to change? Ray, if you just move it on a little bit, that'd be great. Thank you. Let's go on to the next one there. Where is the power to change our hearts and our lives? Paul wants his readers to have lives that are marked by gospel change and transformation. He wants their lives to be a testimony to God's life-changing power. And he uses his own life as an illustration of that. Paul knows that he can never be content to stay as he is. It's interesting that he writes these words quite late on in his life. Paul has been a Christian for many years, and this is probably some of the last words that he writes, and he's still writing, I want to know Christ. I want to know the power of his resurrection. This is not a baby Christian. This is Paul, the mature Christian. He wants to be continually changed and transformed ever into the likeness of Jesus Christ. I wonder if that's what we want. Is that what we want in our lives, to be made more and more like Jesus Christ? And perhaps the question that maybe is even more important is, how does this change happen? Where do we find the power to change? Where do we find the power to change those sinful attitudes that are so deeply rooted in our lives? Where does the power come from that enables us to leave behind our past mistakes and failures and regrets? Don't we all have areas of our lives that we long to change? Where does the power come from to persevere in the Christian life through the darkest and deepest trials? Some of us here in recent times have been through some dark and difficult times. Where does the strength and the power to keep going come from? Where do we find the strength to live for God's glory on Monday morning when you go into work or when you meet your non-Christian family? Where is the power to do that? To live in a fallen, broken world? Well, the Bible says that this power that transforms us is the power that comes to us and is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the power that Christ exerts from the right hand of God, where he's now seated in glory. This is why the historical reliability of the resurrection is so vitally important. Christian faith is not based upon abstract principles. It's about a relationship with a living Savior. A Savior that we can know personally. A Savior who fills us and empowers us and who transforms us into his likeness. And the first thing that we need to say is, if we want to know the power of Christ's resurrection, we need to read the first bit of that verse. We need to know Christ. If we want to know the power of his resurrection, we need to know Christ. So what does knowing Christ mean? This is where Paul's desire for Christians, for every Christian, comes out to us. We see it in Jeremiah chapter 9 and verses 23 and 24, where the Lord says, let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts boast about this, that he knows, that understands, and he knows me. We tend to admire those who are bright and intelligent and knowledgeable and creative, or those who are physically strong or talented or attractive, or those who have great wealth. These are the people that we tend to look up to. But the Lord says that to him, none of these things really matter. What matters more than anything else is understanding and knowing the Lord, the covenant God, the God who loves kindness and justice and righteousness. And the importance of knowing the Lord, of knowing God, is there in the Gospels. On the night before his death, Jesus prays for his followers and he says, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, who you have sent. Eternal life is about knowing God, knowing Jesus personally. Jesus came so that we might know him. Unless we know him, there can be no true life. And not only is this knowledge of Christ directly linked to eternal life, but 2 Peter says that growing and deepening this knowledge of Christ is the thing that empowers and equips us with life and godliness. So knowing Christ is critical if we're to live in resurrection power. But how do we get to know Jesus? Well, we get to know someone by learning about them. We get to know someone by spending time with them. And it's no different, is it, for as in our Christian lives. But knowing Christ, of course, is more than knowing facts about him. When Peter says, I want to know Christ, he doesn't mean I want to add to my knowledge of Jesus, that intellectual knowledge. He's talking about a deep, personal, living, relational relationship with Christ. Knowing Christ means listening to faithful preachers of God's word. One of the ways we get to know Christ better is by meeting together and listening to the word of God being preached. It means regularly studying the Bible. You know, sometimes people say, well, I just don't feel I'm growing in my Christian life. And often the reason is because we're not spending time letting God speak to us about himself. It means witnessing the impact of Christ upon other Christians. That's why meeting together is so important. One of the things that encourages me to keep on going as a Christian is watching you guys. Watching how God is working in your lives. Seeing what God is doing in your lives, because I think, well, if God is doing that in their lives, then he can do it for me. That's why we need each other. But we need to go beyond learning the facts, don't we? We need to cultivate a relationship with Jesus. And so how do we cultivate a relationship with Jesus? Well, it begins, doesn't it, of course, by putting our faith in Christ alone. It means believing that he is the Son of God and that he died in our place. It means believing that the events that we celebrate today, the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ, really happened. It means asking him to make us new creations. And secondly, we cultivate a relationship with Christ through prayer, on our own and with others. I personally find praying with others a huge encouragement. I find often prayer on my own hard. But we need to do both. It's in prayer that we share our joys and our frustrations and our longings and our sorrows with the God of the universe who cares for us. Talking to God, builds your relationship with Christ. And thirdly, we cultivate our relationship with Jesus like Paul by following Christ where he leads. And this is so important. It's not just listening to God. It's not just praying. It's about obeying the Lord. It's following Christ where he leads. And that means that we need to listen as we pray and as we read our Bibles. It means being willing to follow even when his commands don't make sense. It means depending on Christ even when he calls you to do that which seems unreasonable. Our relationship with Christ deepens as we learn to obey Christ. As we step out in faith, trusting him, our living, risen Saviour. We need to know Christ. But then secondly, we need to know the power of Christ's resurrection. We've said that if we're to know the power of Christ's resurrection, it's vital that we know Christ. But what does Paul mean when he says, I want to know the power of Christ's resurrection? I want you to notice that what Paul isn't asking God is for more power. Sometimes we think that's what he's asking, but he's not asking for more power. Instead, he's asking God that he might know the resurrection power that is already his. We have resurrection power. We can see this same thought in Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 19 and 20, where Paul prays three things for his readers. He wants them to know the blessings that are theirs in Christ. And so first of all, he says, God, I want you to do this for them. I want them to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation that they might know Christ better. That's what we've been thinking about just now. So he wants them to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation that they might know Christ better. Then secondly, he prays that their hearts may know the hope to which God has called them in Christ. So he wants Christians to really understand the hope that we have in Christ. But I want you to notice the third thing that he prays, where he says that they might know Christ's incredibly great power for us who believe. Now, what is the power he's talking about? This is the same mighty power, verse 20, that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand and in the heavenly realms. Paul is saying that every Christian has access to this same incomparably great resurrection power. Every Christian has access to it. So let's think for a few minutes about five aspects of this resurrection power. What does resurrection power do? What does it mean that we can do? You're going to go out of this door this evening in the resurrection power of Christ. What is that going to mean? What's it going to look like? Well, I think this is what we see. Resurrection power, first of all, assures us of the total forgiveness of our sins. Without Christ, we're slaves to sin, but through Christ's sacrificial death and resurrection, we've been set free from the power of sin. It's not enough that Christ was delivered over to death because of our sins. He had to be raised to life for our justification. The only reason, as we said this morning, that we can know that it is finished is because Christ is alive. When Jesus died, God laid on him the punishment that all of us deserve for our sins. But if there had been anything lacking in Jesus' sacrifice, if his blood had lacked the power to cancel anyone's sins, God's justice would not have raised him to life. Jesus would have stayed in the tomb. But because Jesus is alive, the fact that the resurrection takes place tells us that Jesus' sacrifice is fully sufficient to pay the penalty for my sin and for yours. And that means that when Satan accuses you, when he says to you, God could never forgive you for that. Or when he says to you, what a terrible Christian you are. Have you heard that lie? You can say, because Jesus rose from the dead, I'm totally justified. I've believed in Jesus. I'm righteous in God's eyes. That's what resurrection power does. It assures us of the totality of our forgiveness before God. And that takes power. Secondly, resurrection power enables us to conquer sin. It doesn't end with forgiveness. Christ's resurrection empowers us to conquer sin in our lives as we put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. If you're a Christian, you have been raised with Christ. We are new creations. God's Spirit lives within us and is at work within us, making us more and more like Christ. truly righteous, truly holy, becoming all that God wants us to be. But we might respond to that and say, well, why, if that's the case, do I keep on sinning? Well, Paul gives us the answer in Philippians. Even though we have the power, we continue to act as if we are weak, as if we are still slaves to sin. We let Satan deceive us, making us think that we belong to him. And one of the ways he does that is to point us to those behaviors, those deeply ingrained behaviors that over many years. What we need to do is to allow the truth that we are set free in Christ, that we have Christ's resurrection power available to us to break those habits and change our lives. Resurrection power enables us to conquer sin. Thirdly, resurrection power equips us to be God's agents for transformation. Where do you find it hardest to be a Christian? Where do you find it most difficult to be a Christian? Isn't it among those that don't believe? Those who scorn the name of Christ? Maybe you've got family members and they just mock you when you talk about your Christian faith. Or they just kind of, there's an embarrassed silence when you talk about your faith in Christ. Christian faith is not just about forgiveness and overcoming sin. It's not simply a solution to our problems. God's purpose in our salvation is that we might be agents of transformation and change in the world around us. But how on earth are we to do this? We're so few in number. I guess that's how the apostles felt when Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples of all nations. And they're going like, what? There's 12 of us. And we kind of just ordinary blokes. And how are we going to do it? But God empowers us not only to defeat sin, but also to be light and to share his light and his love in a dark world. Jesus has committed to us this message of reconciliation, 2 Corinthians 5. And he tells us that we're to go out in resurrection power as Christ's ambassadors. We're to bring his life-giving message of reconciliation to those who are lost and without hope. And the only way we'll do that is in the resurrection power of Christ. And the thing is, as we go out in weakness, 2 Corinthians 12:9, that weakness becomes the perfect platform for God to show his resurrection power. Sometimes we think our weakness is a kind of a hindrance to God working, but actually that is a perfect platform for God to demonstrate resurrection power through us. And then fourthly, resurrection power conforms us to Christ's likeness. And this is maybe the greatest accomplishment, because if I'm honest, it's that personal transformation that seems to me the biggest obstacle in my Christian life. How is God going to make me like Christ? How is he going to deal with all those bad habits and traits that seem so deeply ingrained? And this is resurrection power's greatest accomplishment, to conform us to the image of Christ. In 2 Corinthians, Paul, and chapter 3, verse 18, Paul says of believers that we are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Just stop for a moment and think about what that means. Think about everything that you admire in Christ. Everything that you look at Christ and you think, if only I was like that. And then think about it, your bad habits. Think about your negative characteristics, the things that dismay you day after day. The character traits that you've tried to change and you struggle to change. Only resurrection power can bring about such a radical transformation. And this is the amazing transformation that the Lord is determined to bring about in our lives when he made us new creations. He's doing what no plastic surgeon can ever do. You're becoming like Jesus. That is your destiny as a Christian. You're becoming increasingly the perfect bride of Christ, spotless, blameless, loving, kind, and strong. He is at work in mighty resurrection power, because that's what it takes to make us like Christ. This is the power of the resurrection. And finally, resurrection power is the power that overcomes the devil and his kingdom. It was through the death and resurrection of Jesus that he was given a name above every name, Philippians 2. And that means there is no greater power than the power of Jesus. When Christ died on the cross for our sins, Satan was struck a decisive blow. And he knows his end is in sight, but did the work of the evil one, Satan, stop with his defeat by Christ's death and resurrection? No. When Christ died for our sins, Satan was disarmed and defeated. But Satan is still trying to be that roaring lion, trying to fight against the roaring lion who is Christ. He prowls around seeking those he will devour. And Peter says, resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. How do we resist the devil? It's through the power of Christ, through the resurrection power of Christ. We stand together in that same power, in the sure knowledge that Satan is defeated, and that we no longer belong to him. Christ is our Lord. Christ is our Master. See, the fact of the resurrection is so central to true Christian faith. The truth of the resurrection means that we have a relationship with our Savior. The truth of the resurrection means that we have access to the mighty power that raised Jesus from the dead. So when you get up tomorrow morning and you feel weak and pathetic, and perhaps even then you think, well, what about those sins? How are they going to be this day? Remember that you have that resurrection power of Christ. It's available to you. Power that assures us of the total forgiveness of our sins. Power that enables us to conquer sin. Power that enables us to be God's agents of transformation. Power that is conforming us to the image of Christ. Power to defeat Satan and his kingdom. So let's seek to know Christ better. Let's make use of the power that is ours in Christ. Let's stop depending upon our own strength. And let's rely on Christ alone to live in the power of the resurrection. We are an Easter people. We are a resurrection people. We really are. Let's live it. So brothers and sisters, let's pray, shall we? Let's pray that God would help us take hold of that power that is in Christ. Father, we thank you that you have raised us in Christ. We are raised in him, the one who died. We've died to Christ, in Christ and with Christ. But we are raised in him to newness of life. And Lord, we pray that we would live in the newness of life that you've given us. When Satan tries to draw us back, to make us think that we are the people that we once were, Father, help us to listen to what you're saying to us, to live in the resurrection power of Christ. We pray for your help. In Jesus' name, amen. I think as we draw to a close, let's sing the song, In the Tomb So Cold They Laid Him, another great Easter song. Let's stand as the musicians begin.